And so today I'm really, really excited. I think this is going to be my best day. We have Giriraj Maharaj, who's going to speak something now. And right after him will be Niranjan Maharaj. And if our schedule goes properly, we'll see a video after that from Romapad Maharaj. And then Madhu Mangal Prabhu, the temple president, former temple president of Gurugam, the Delhi area. And then our dear God brother Sundarananda Prabhu. And then our dear friend Hari Parashya Prabhu. And then the last part of the session will be Chandramouli Maharaj. So I'd just like to say a few quick words to introduce His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. As I said yesterday, sometimes me trying to introduce Giriraj Maharaj is like a firefly trying to introduce the sun planet. It's just a joke. Giriraj Maharaj is such a wonderful, famous personality. And I love hearing about his exchanges with Srila Prabhupada, from which we can understand how much love Srila Prabhupada had for him, how close he is to Srila Prabhupada. And Maharaj is a very, very senior, very important member in our society. He's constantly being requested to speak everywhere. That he's here today with us is such a very great, great blessing. I could go on and on speaking about him, but he might get annoyed with me. And also, we'd much rather hear him say something. So please, Giriraj Maharaj, we'd be delighted if you can say a few words. Is he muted?
Thank you for that introduction. And I have conceived of my appreciation to Shripad Gaurgovinda Swami Maharaj as a talk with him. So yes, I'm addressing this to him. In 1996 in Mayapur, some days before Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day, I received a telegram from my father saying that he had had a stroke and that although he was apparently out of danger, he still would like me to come. In the 25 years since I had joined, my father had never really asked me for anything. So after consulting some close God brothers, I decided I should go. I got my reservation to leave on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's appearance day. But before leaving, I wanted to see Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, who happened to be upstairs in the GBC conference room with the educational subcommittee. As I entered, I saw you, Gaurgovinda Swami Maharaj, seated at the table just to my left. You had come late for the meetings and had just arrived in Mayapur the night before. As I had not seen you since you arrived, I took the opportunity to bow down and place my head at your lotus feet. And you affectionately rubbed my back. You smiled at me warmly and looked at me with eyes full of love and brightness and bliss. I explained to Ravindra Swarup Prabhu that I would be leaving. And again, I looked at you. We exchanged happy glances and smiles, and I left. Only some weeks later did I find out that on the very day I had left Mayapur, you had left for the Supreme Abode. From Mayapur, I had gone to Miami, where my father was in the hospital, and only after I accompanied my father to Chicago and spoke to the devotees there did I learn of your departure. At first, I couldn't believe it, but then His Holiness Radhanath Swami came to visit me and he confirmed the news. I first heard of you from Bhagavat Das, a friend of mine who had served with me in Bombay and with you in Bhubaneswar. He told me about the saintly person who lived in a grass hut and was translating Srila Prabhupada's books into Oriya. So even before I got to meet you, I had a very favorable impression of you. But I really got to know you when you came to Mauritius. Mauritius is a small island in the Indian Ocean between India and Africa. At its widest, it is 40 miles across, and at its longest, 60 miles. At that time, you were very seriously translating Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam into Oriya to have it ready in time for Srila Prabhupada's centennial. Still, we got the opportunity to have many wonderful exchanges. Whenever we drove from the temple in the town of Phoenix to the temple at the farm in Bonacay, we would ride in the car together and discuss. So I had many opportunities to speak with you. Also in classes, you would give very long classes, and at the end I would ask questions. Once, at the farm in Bonacay, I referred to the verses in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22, 128, and 129, about the five most potent forms of devotional service. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtana Bhagavat Shravana Mathura Vasa Shimurtira Shradaya Sevana. One should associate with devotees, chant the holy name of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, reside at Mathura, and worship the deity with faith and veneration. Sakala Sadhana Shrestha A Pancha Anga, Krishna Prema Janmaya A Panchera Alpa Anga. These five limbs of devotional service are the best of all. Even a slight performance of these five awakens love for Krishna. I told you how much I cherished Mathura Vas, residing in Mathura or Vrindavan, and you replied, looking at me straight in the eyes and with quite some firm intensity, Kamsa also resided in Mathura. You spoke these words to me with great love and affection, compassion, yeah. And I felt that you were seeing straight into my polluted heart and acting to purify it. You instructed me that the goal was not to reside in Mathura, but to actually develop the consciousness of devotee. So we discussed many things. Even at the airport before you left Mauritius, we spoke for an hour and a half, very intimately. You mentioned the predicted 10,000 year golden age within Kali Yuga, giving some scriptural reference for it, which I had never heard before, and explaining your hope that ISKCON would usher in that golden age. And you told me about yourself also, how at your first meeting with Srila Prabhupada he had engaged you, and how later you had brought Srila Prabhupada to Orissa. You also told me how you had found guidance after Srila Prabhupada left, how you had developed the notebooks you kept with various verses, and how you would quote from the notebooks when you gave class. You told me so many helpful things. I remember your eyes. They always seemed moist with tears of love, tears of joy. And your voice was always full of affection and enthusiasm and the ecstasy of realization. In my mind's eye, even now, I can see your eyes and your smile. Your head slightly nodding, your eyes looking into mine, blinking, and your face smiling. The other main opportunities we had to meet and discuss came mainly in Juhu, You would often leave India from Bombay, and when you returned from your tours abroad, you would also come through Bombay and stay in the Juhu guest house. There too, we had many wonderful discussions. One evening I had a preaching program, but before leaving the temple, I wanted to visit you in your room and just offer my respects. When I came, you suddenly began to describe a most wonderful pastime of Radha and Krishna and how they were assisted by Vrindadevi. Once, when Krishna failed to meet Radharani at the appointed time and place, she sent her girlfriends, Sakis, to investigate. And when they reported that they had found him at the secret grove of Radharani's rival, Chandravali, Radha manifested the ecstasy of transcendental, loving, jealous anger, man. And thereafter, she refused to meet him. Distraught, Krishna tried in so many ways to break her man, but nothing he said or did would pacify her. Finally, Vrindadevi came to him and advised him to disguise himself as a sannyasi and beg some charity from her. When he did, Sri Radha could not refuse, and she gave him what he asked, prema. And thus the divine couple was happily reunited. I had heard and read many pastimes, but I had never heard this particular one. And you were narrating it in such an animated way. I was just enchanted and did not want to leave. But time was passing and I was getting later and later for my program. Still, I could not tear myself away. Finally, you ended and I told you I had to go for a preaching program. And so I left feeling very enlivened by the Krishna Katha you had so blissfully narrated. You were and are a most extraordinary devotee. Although you were advanced in age and your health was frail, you took the trouble to travel all over the world like a young man, preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, and enliven the devotees. You are a great and magnanimous soul. So, other devotees have documented your purity, your presentation of the philosophy, your achievements and contributions to the movement. Here, I just wanted to relate my own experiences with you and my feelings for you. We miss you. Souls such as you are rare indeed. You are a great source of strength to the movement. But although you have left, your legacy continues. When I received a copy of Sri Krishna Kathamrita dedicated to the subject of Vaishnav Aparad, the mad elephant offense, from the quality of the Krishna Katha in the magazine, the intelligence with which the articles were conceived and arranged, I felt, yes, your legacy is continuing. Your disciples and followers are continuing your mission. I felt very enlivened by the purity of the katha in the magazine. I felt both chastened and inspired. You assured us that we can get association and guidance even after the spiritual master leaves this world. How?
It has to be from the iPod because the sound is not good online.
I just muted her.
Oh, but was she saying my sound is not good?
No, it's okay. I don't know what she. I can hear fine.
Okay, all right. Well, if you're hearing, then it's okay.
We're drinking with our ears.
Thank you. All right, then I'll continue. I'm almost at the end. So you assured us, Gaurgovinda Swami Maharaj, that we can get association and guidance even after the spiritual master leaves this world. How? Through the guru's instructions and through the instructions of Shastra and Sadhu, by the guru's mercy. You said, quote, "The instruction of guru is also guru. You'll get guru kripa, the mercy of the guru, through his instructions, vani. One who is very, very eager and very, very inquisitive will pray to his spiritual master. O spiritual master, you are not physically present, so I cannot understand. I am such an ignorant fool. I have no qualification. Though your instructions are there, I cannot understand what you have said. Please help me." The guru will come, but not in the same form. He may come in the form of a sadhu, a very dear devotee, who is also very dear to your spiritual master. Through him, knowledge will be revealed. Doubts will be cleared. Through him, you will be able to understand tattva, purport. You should think, my guru is teaching me, speaking to me in this form. Don't think, my guru is not here. He has departed. What shall I do? Pray fervently to your spiritual master. He must help you. We have personal experience. We have been helped in this way. Also, the great Mahajans, Acharyas, have said this. It is an eternal process. Krishna is eternal, and his teachings are eternal. The process is eternal. But we should be very, very inquisitive. We should not feel desperate. There is no reason to be pessimistic. We should be full of optimism in this process. And Srila Gaurgovinda Swami Maharaj, you fulfilled that function of giving guidance to so many devotees after our beloved Srila Prabhupada left. And you spoke from realization. And you inspired all of us with your realizations and merciful association, which is continuing through your vani. I conclude with the immortal words of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, inscribed at the tomb of Haridas Thakur in Jagannath Puri. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living try to spread the holy name around. I never fully realized how much I love you. It is certainly your kindness upon me. And I pray that you, from your position, will bless me, that I may be a good servant of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and ultimately become qualified to serve Sri Sri Radha Govinda, Gopal Ju. Thank you very much, your eternal servant, Giriraj Swami. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so very much, Maharaj. Maharaj is on the west coast of America. It's very late at night there for him. I appreciate you taking this time, Maharaj, and sharing such intimate things from your heart. As we were mentioning yesterday, Guru Maharaj used to say that if Krishna wants to see himself, There's no mirror which can properly reflect him. And so he has to go to what Grimmer is called the Sat Hridaya Darpana, Sat Prema Hridaya Darpana, or the heart of love of his devotee. And in that heart, one can see Krishna. And so this is why we're so happy you took part today too, because we can see something of our revered spiritual master in the mirror of your heart. Thank you for sharing that. I so much appreciate. I would like, we're a little late, but still, Maharaj?
Yeah? Me?
I'm sorry, I thought you wanted to say something. I was just going to comment that since we're so fortunate to have Giriraj Maharaj's Sangha live just for a few minutes, although we're a little late, I'm going to be bold enough to tell if anyone would like to ask any questions or perhaps you have some comment, you can go ahead and post it here in the chat right now. I hope everybody appreciates Maharaj very much for taking this time. Okay. And if nobody has any comments right now, then I'd like to turn to our next speaker, which is Naranja Maharaj. Naranja Maharaj commented, he says, to me privately, but I'm going to be, I'm going to read it out. He says, it's a tough act to follow. So, one of the reasons why, Maharaj?
Never mind.
One of the reasons why we really want to do these programs, we want the blessings of Giriraj Maharaj and Naranja Maharaj and so many senior devotees. We'd like to get to know something of our Guru Maharaj through your words and your heart. And it just means so much to us. So I'd like to, as I keep saying, it's ridiculous for me to introduce some of these personalities. But I have to say something about Naranja Maharaj. Naranja Maharaj is someone who I see had so much love for Guru Maharaj, like Giriraj Maharaj also. He didn't have a lot of physical association. Guru Maharaj was mostly here in Bhubaneswar, and he wasn't, senior devotees were traveling at the same time he was traveling. It was difficult to get much association. But over the years, I have a personal, feel a great personal debt, both to Giriraj Maharaj, and especially to Naranja Maharaj for engaging me and for always trying to encourage me, and also my other God brothers and God sisters who never give up our service for our Guru Maharaj. And I can say so many things about them, and GBC members and gurus and wonderful speakers and writers, and enthusing so many thousands of devotees. But I think everyone knows that. But what's very, very special for me is this gift that I've gotten both from Giriraj Maharaj and from Naranja Maharaj, a very selfless gift to try to increase our devotion and dedication to our Guru Maharaj. And Pushkar Rakshapabhu makes a nice comment here, and he says, we know that Giriraj Maharaj is like a honeybee, very eager and selective to drink deep the Hari Katha from pure sadhus. Well said. Pushkar Rakshapabhu is our dear God brother. He'll be speaking this evening in our session. So Naranja Maharaj, are you all ready? Would you like to go ahead and start now? I think you're muted.
I can start, but I'm still of the same mind. I've been wiping the tears away from my eyes, trying to get them a little bit clear so that I can speak properly. It wasn't so easy because Giriraj Maharaj's offering really stirred a lot of emotions in me. That's why it's a tough act to follow. Especially since many of the topics he shared about his association with Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj were similar experiences that I had, presented in a way that Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj could present them, and they would enter very, very deeply into the heart with an impenetrable, piercing force that became indelible, and it sustained me after his departure. It sustains me now in my devotional service to Srila Prabhupada. And I don't know what great fortune. I certainly didn't deserve it, but what great fortune it was for me, unlike Giriraj Maharaj, who seemed to have a significant amount of Gaur Govinda Maharaj's association. But as you know, and maybe some others know, my association was minimal. But although Shastra says even a Lava Mutra is sufficient, somehow he met with me on two occasions, and once was for about 2 hours. And it was very personal. It was private. And private in the sense that no one else was there. It was just myself and himself. And although what he shared with me was not something very private. But that is going to be the basis of my unprepared talk, unlike Giriraj Maharaj, who prepared beautifully. I mean, Maharaj, I'm not crying again. You'll understand how beautiful that was and how touching it was. And somehow Krishna inspired me to make sure I was on to hear you speak, because it really shows the impact that such a pure Vaishnava as Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj had on his godbrothers, what to speak of his disciples and followers who dedicated their lives to him. But with his godbrothers, whom during those times, sometimes he even felt challenged by some of his godbrothers, in a way that I don't want to reflect on this moment. But he was never in any way reserved and sharing. Never in any way reserved and sharing. And that was my experience in this one meeting I had with him, sharing what I considered to be Srila Prabhupada's mission and his mission. And this is a topic that I wanted to reflect on. I've made a few notes. I don't have something, as I said, to read like you did. But I've been reflecting a lot upon this topic in recent times, more perhaps than previously. And while reflecting on these topics, I felt that Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj is very much intimately interwoven with these thoughts. And it's a perfect example to enhance these thoughts that have awakened within my heart. And initially, when I present them, they may sound a little strange, because I've mentioned it on a few occasions to some devotees, and they couldn't understand what did I mean by a difference between Srila Prabhupada's movement and Srila Prabhupada's mission. Because for many, as it was with me, for so many years, they were synonymous, that Srila Prabhupada's movement was his mission. And certainly, there's no doubt about it. But now I've begun to contemplate more and more on what Srila Prabhupada's mission is, even beyond his movement. And what stimulated those thoughts in me was by reflecting on a very well-known verse from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that is spoken by the demigods. It's, O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee. And therefore you are known as a desire tree or Vanchakalpa Taru. When the triers completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, to leave behind on earth the method by which they cross, and because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Very, succinctly, we understand that this verse is describing how the Lord is very merciful to the devotees who cross over the ocean of material existence. And he reciprocates with their internal desires. He accepts their service, and he leaves a boat, as Prabhupada even referred to, leave the boat on the other side for others to cross in the same way that he crossed. And while reflecting on Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary to that verse, he states that Navam Atra Te Nidhaya, that leaving the boat on the bank means that devotees establish bhakti movements. And then they cross the ocean of material existence. While reflecting on this, I began to realize that the mission is on the other side. And the mission is bringing others to the other side. And the movement is on this side. And it was confirmed when I read a verse in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Aho Devarsha Dhanyo Yam Yat Kirtim Sangadhanava Gayam Madhyan Idam Tantriya Ramayat Yaturam Jagat. All glory and success to Srila Narada Muni, because he glorifies the activities of the personality of Godhead. And so doing, he himself takes pleasure and also enlivens all the distressed souls of the universe. And in Prabhupada's short purport, he writes, Srila Narada Muni plays on his instrument to glorify the transcendental activities of the Lord and to give relief to all miserable living entities of the universe. No one is happy here within the universe. And what is felt as happiness is Maya's illusion. The illusory energy of the Lord is so strong that even the hog who lives on filthy stool feels happy. No one can be truly happy within the material world. Srila Narada Muni, in order to enlighten the miserable inhabitants, wanders everywhere. His mission is to get them back home, back to Godhead. That is the mission of all genuine devotees of the Lord, following the footsteps of that great sage. Reflecting on this verse, as well as the verse quoted from the 10th canto, internally I began to reflect on what are some of the difference between movement and mission. And then I'm going to reflect on that meeting that I had with Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj. It was in the early 1990s, and I had actually come to meet with him, and I had some thoughts in my mind that prompted me to go to meet with him. I wanted to discuss with him about some of my concerns about the movement. I wasn't thinking so much about the mission at that time. I was thinking about the movement. And he very graciously received me, asked everyone to leave, and then I sat down in front of him on the floor, and Maharaj was very insistent that I sit next to him, but as he did on both occasions when I visited him to speak to him, he was tapping on the bed saying, Maharaj, sit here. Especially at that time, it was the time when I had broken my leg in Mayapur and I was on crutches, and I was not able to walk so well. And I assumed that he was probably concerned that I was uncomfortable on the floor, but it didn't make any difference. I felt it was my proper place. And so I stayed there. And then I began to ask my question that I had prepared in my mind that I wanted to speak to him about. And I'm not going to project why he didn't let me finish the question. Probably because he knew what was in my heart, and he knew exactly what I needed to hear, and he just began speaking. And the conversation evolved, as you can imagine. It was within 2 hours, there were a lot of things that he covered. And although I use the word conversation, actually, he was speaking and I was hearing. and he began the conversation by talking about the movement. And I could understand, although at the time I wasn't thinking of the distinction between movement and mission, so please try to bear that in mind. But at the time, the way he behaved, now I can realize that Srila Guru Govinda Maharaj perfectly embodied both, and that his concerns were very much about the movement, but his concerns also, which he embodied probably more than any other association I had at that time, was a very sense of urgency to keep this mission of all Vaishnavas, of all genuine devotees who follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, who follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni. What is that mission? That his mission is to get them back home, back to Godhead, as Prabhupada said. This is the mission. So much energy for the movement, but we can't forget the mission. And I saw both because, although I didn't personally associate with Srila Guru Govinda Maharaj so much during the GBC meetings, I had the fortune to observe him in GBC meetings and see his intense concern that the spiritual values of the mission remain intact in Srila Prabhupada's movement. And if there was ever a time when he saw a potential compromise, he would be outspoken. And I'm sure Giriraj Maharaj can testify to that also, that he didn't speak often. But when he spoke, he made himself heard, especially for those who felt a need to hear from him. Not everybody felt that need. Sometimes there was resistance. Not everyone fully understood. But within my own heart, even at that time, was growing an interest to, by his behavior, by his countenance, everything about him, as Giriraj Maharaj described, his eyes moistened with tears. I saw that quite frequently and noted it, that Guru Govinda Maharaj was concerned about the movement, but he was also very much concerned, as I reflect now, on the mission. And he wanted to make sure that mission was always preserved in Srila Prabhupada's movement. So in my conversation with him, he started speaking a lot about movement. And he started speaking about Bhuvaneshwar temple project. He started speaking about the obstacles he's confronting. Is there some difficulty in my sound? No? I can't hear anything.
Sound is good.
Okay. I just didn't know because I was getting an impression that somebody was trying to make a a point, and I thought maybe it was related to my to the sound. So he started speaking about the Bhuvaneshwar temple. He started speaking about many of the obstacles he confronted in establishing the Bhuvaneshwar temple. He spoke about certain personalities that somehow didn't fully seem to accept that Prabhupada's words and his desire for the Bhuvaneshwar temple were sufficient in of themselves to see that it would manifest. And he started speaking about his own firm conviction about the instructions that Srila Prabhupada had given to him. And he spoke a lot about this project and then how it all manifested because of Srila Prabhupada's desire, taking very humble back seat in this description with me by trying to prove to me that everything there is in Srila Prabhupada's words, and the disciples should simply have deep faith in those words. And if the desire spiritual master is for it to manifest, then it will manifest. And we have to have that faith. And that was his theme in relationship to the Bhuvaneshwar project. And then he also began speaking to me at one point about Srila Prabhupada's books, his teachings, his instructions. And he spoke to me in a way saying that he was oftentimes subjected to hearing words spoken about Srila Prabhupada that were very painful for him. Especially he was saying how there sometimes people would say that Srila Prabhupada didn't give us everything. And therefore, it was very necessary to understand that because Srila Prabhupada hadn't given us everything, that we were somehow deficient. And Gaur Govinda Maharaj, while he was explaining this to me, he choked and he couldn't speak. And he actually folded his palms with tears and his eyes were so moist. And he's just said with in a shaking voice, he said, "Forgive me, Maharaj. I cannot speak." And he stopped and just sat there, tears coming from his eyes, because I could see how pained he was at the thought that anyone would think that way. And at some point, I don't know how long it went after he begged forgiveness to me for not being able to speak, but he started speaking again. And he came back like a lion and tried to emphasize the point that Srila Prabhupada gave us everything. He picked up Chaitanya Charitamrita. He held the book facing me, opened it up. He was pointing to the verse in the book. And then he said, "Maharaj, it's everything is there. Everything." And he was speaking so strongly. And he said, "We have to become," as he oftentimes said, "we have to become very expert in mining, to seeing how Srila Prabhupada had given us everything in his books and his instructions." And then he began speaking about how the spiritual master continues to instruct the disciple even after he departs. And he spoke, as you mentioned, Giriraj Maharaj mentioned, he spoke about how the spiritual master continues to instruct and care for his disciple through shastras, as he was speaking about the books. And also, he said, through the mouths of sadhus and Vaishnavas. And in this way, he personally takes care of their spiritual life of anyone who's very eager to receive those instructions from their guru. And as he was speaking, I've reflected on this before, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, I didn't take it that he was speaking to me by telling me, don't you know Niranjana Swami Prabhupada is speaking to you now? I didn't take it that that was his mood at all. I took it that he was speaking from very deep realization. And as I was sitting there, obviously what entered my heart was Prabhupada speaking to me. And for me, that in itself was very much a catalyst, and it was very transformational as to the potency of Guru and his relationship with his disciple, because I was able to get a glimpse, just a glimpse, of the potency of the spiritual master in his relationship with his disciple, and the transparency of Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj in that eternal message, which he was holding very fast to in his communication to me. It is an eternal spiritual principle, and no doubt exists in my mind whatsoever that eternal spiritual principle is possible for those who have faith like he had. In the words of his spiritual master, my spiritual master, and for those who gave, and one thing that actually became apparent to me after that meeting with him, gave every fiber of his existence in service to his spiritual master. So much to the point that after that meeting with him, that if anybody would even suggest anything of any sort, that Gaur Govinda Maharaj was not Srila Prabhupada's man, I became like the ferocious lion to demonstrate how there was no doubt in my mind of how every fiber of his existence was in full dedication to service to our Guru Maharaj. So he spoke about that. And then that was sort of a transitional point into Srila Prabhupada's mission. The mission I kind of spoke about and reflected on as I spoke about in the beginning, the mission of bringing others back home, back to Godhead, as not opposed to, but as an enhancement of the purpose of the movement, is the mission of going back to Godhead. What he then told me is the same pastime that he told Giriraj Maharaj. Same pastime is such an animated way. His gestures, his countenance, his eyes, even pulling his uttarya over his head, as I was listening to him, I was thinking that he's there. And I was reflecting afterwards. I was reflecting on the third canto first of the third canto of the Bhagavatam, when Vidura went to speak to Uddhava, and Uddhava had to come back and to speak to Vidura. And Prabhupada describes in the purport how sometimes great pure Vaishnavas, and they are actually there, and as Uddhava was in Dwarka at the time, and then he came back and he spoke on the physical plane, revealing to Vidura at that time. And Prabhupada was describing how he had come there, and he explained how the Vaishnava exists in both places, in this world and in the spiritual world. And I was reflecting on that purport, because that's what I was actually experiencing, was a glimpse. It's almost like a window to the spiritual world he was opening to me. And reflecting on it now was that this was Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj's mission, which was Srila Prabhupada's mission. And that's that mission which he helped so many of us to at least get a glimpse of and try to understand that, yes, we have so much responsibility in Srila Prabhupada's movement, but let's not forget his mission. And he taught not only by his words, by his behavior, but by his perfect example. His mission was to teach everyone that going back to Godhead is the goal. And he lived to teach that to others at least 10 times. In the course of my conversation with him, at least 10 times. And in addition, as I was standing by the door on crutches, as I was about to leave, Gaura Govinda Maharaj, with moist eyes, after a momentary, it wasn't a momentary, he spoke for about 10 minutes. When he spoke in that 10 minutes, he was revealing some pastimes of Krishna as I was leaving. And he was there and not there. And that's what, of course, impressed me the most. Although I can't really remember the whole pastime he was speaking about, but what impressed me the most was Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj is again trying to impress upon me about the importance of becoming Krishna conscious in this life. And then when he came back to this world, he said to me, as he stated many times in that conversation, "Maharaj, please come to Bhubaneswar. Please come to Bhubaneswar," begging me, "please come." And of course, one of the biggest pains for me, being in Mayapur at the time of his departure, and that's a whole other story, but I won't go into it. But one of the thoughts that repeatedly, just constantly circulated in my mind is, why didn't I go to Bhubaneswar? Why didn't I accept his invitation? What was wrong with me? Thinking again and again and again and again that now he's not here. He's left. He's fulfilled his mission. He's fulfilled Prabhupada's mission. And now I'm left here as to beat my head against a stone, regretting that I did not sufficiently take advantage of his association. Nonetheless, I do know that feelings of separation, which sometimes do come to the heart, they're very purifying. And to remember the association, however much time one has in the association of such an exalted Vaishnava, gives us the opportunity to benefit by such feelings of separation from him. And I have to say, Giriraj Maharaj, as much as I've been speaking now about my experience, your talk really invoked such a feeling of separation to Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj that I can't thank you enough for sharing it with me and with everyone else. I'm sorry I might have spoken longer than I was supposed to have spoken. It was spontaneous. It wasn't prepared. But I should stop here. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, we had you scheduled from 9:50 in the morning to 10:10, but the 10:10 is tomorrow morning. I want to say so many words of appreciation for what you said, but I think the very best appreciation is a smile on Giriraj Maharaj's face. I think that really says it all. And I just like to ask if Giriraj Maharaj, do you have some reflection you want to say? But Maharaj is.
No. Well, I was going to say, you're seeing the smile on my face. You're not seeing the tears in my eyes. And I mean, I'm so grateful for His Holiness Niranjan Swami's talk, which was really profound. And he did mention, by the way, that I might have seen Gaur Govinda Maharaj in the GBC meetings, which is true. And there is one incident that came to mind that I thought was quite telling. The GBC were discussing what the qualifications of a guru are. They're making a list. I said, gives Krishna. He gives Krishna. And they didn't want to put it on. They didn't want to put it on the board. He said, put it on the board. Put it on the board. He gives Krishna. He gives Krishna.
I was going to say that because that's also something that I very deeply remember. I didn't know if it was appropriate to say it or not. But I definitely remember the devotee who was doing a brainstorming session.
Yeah.
And Gaur Govinda Maharaj had given that as one of the important principles of the gurus, that the spiritual master is that he gives Krishna. And the devotee who was putting everything on the board, as he was prioritizing everything, he kind of separated as if it was like, well, this is not really, it's not in line with what we're discussing right now. Almost like it was something that could potentially have been inconsequential. And I was sitting right next to Gaur Govinda Maharaj. And he was like, fire. He's just like, what are you doing? Put it on the board. Yes. I'm glad to hear you remembered. I didn't know if anybody else remembered that, but I definitely remembered it.
There's a question for Niranjan Maharaj, but I'd like to, a couple of comments for Niranjan Maharaj. I'd like to just offer a couple of words real quick if I can. Guru Maharaj once told me in Spain when I was traveling with him as a servant, he said that we should work to help uphold the prestige of Srila Prabhupada's mission. And the best way to do that is to have nice Krishna Katha and nice Vaishnava dealings. And so I see with both of you, Giriraj Maharaj and Niranjan Maharaj, you're living for those two things, nice Vaishnava dealings and nice Krishna Katha. And I just feel so nourished and happy in your association and hearing from you. I can't thank you enough. So let me read out some of the comments we've got here if I can. Onkar has written a question for Niranjan Maharaj. He says, done about pranams. How should we individually manage between our service to the movement and the mission, as both are important, and sometimes they may clash with each other? Do you have any comments to that, Maharaj?
How to maintain a balance? Is that what the question is? I mean, I didn't read it yet, so I just kind of.
Okay, he says, how should we individually manage, I guess it means a balance, between our service of the movement and our mission, as both are important, and sometimes they may clash with each other.
Yes. Not sometimes. I've come to realize more often than not that they can clash. And I would say that the best way to manage is at least what keeps me sane is to always keep the mission at the forefront, because I'm sure that's what Srila Prabhupada wants. And I'm sure that sometimes certain elements of the movement may not perfectly embody everything that Srila Prabhupada gave in the mission. And we sometimes clash with those elements in the movement that may not perfectly embody everything Srila Prabhupada has given in the mission. And therefore, the best way to manage that is by being true to the mission. And if you're true to the mission, ultimately, Prabhupada would be pleased, Krishna will be pleased, and ultimately, it will be reconciled. But there has to be one principle that I'm convinced has to be there. And that principle that we must be there is that we always respect Vaishnavas. If we lose sight, we've lost sight of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order that he will give love of Godhead to anyone who simply chants his name and does not offend any living entity. And I believe Gaur Govinda Maharaj taught that. We have his example.
Oh my God.
He also differed, clashed, but he always held true to his convictions, and he was always respectful to everyone.
You wrote a very beautiful, profound answer, Maharaj. Thank you very much. It's a dilemma for everyone. And for those who may not have the good fortune to get association so much with Niranjan Maharaj or with Giriraj Maharaj, I can say that I see your example is such a beautiful source of inspiration for balancing between these two things. Thank you. Let me go on and read. Pushkaraksha Prabhu, my godbrother in Paris, has commented, thank you so much, Niranjan Maharaj, for sharing with us such deep thoughts and love for our Guru Maharaj, our boys, and Srila Prabhupada. Your godbrother, Srila Prabhu, my thanks in America, Prabhupada's disciple, he comments for Niranjan Maharaj, thankful for your thoughtful offering, which pondered such important issues, discerning movement versus mission, practical responsibilities, vis-a-vis our ultimate goal, and firm faith in Guru's instructions as being utmost. And Srila Prabhu also comments to Giriraj Maharaj, he said, we are so obliged by your personal insightful offering. You always come from the heart. You provided us such an intimate glimpse of Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj, his wonderful qualities, Charit. We felt him through you. Srila Prabhu's comments certainly reflect my heart also, and I think the heart of many, many devotees. Do either of you have anything that you want to finish with?
Just my dandavat pranams to Srila Prabhu. We've had the fortune of being in association with each other back in the late 1970s in the New York temple. And I remember him fondly.
And my other comment is that Niranjan Maharaj, we have about another 20 hours left of your presentation for our schedule.
I'm not sure how everyone else will be able to accept that, but thank you for encouraging me anyways. I would be happy to speak more, but I believe that others have many other things that they would like to hear from many other Vaishnavas, and they would like to hear also personally from Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj in his videos as well. So I think I should refrain myself from the temptation.
Thank you, Maharaj. We miss your association, Mayapur.
Thank you so much, Madhavananda Prabhu, for inviting me to take part in this auspicious event. And I do hope it will be all put online for us to hear everything, because I missed yesterday, and I would be very, very grateful if you share this, these offerings with the Vaishnavas all over the world, who will be very eager to hear glorification of Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj. I wish to thank once again, profusely, Giriraj Maharaj for, it went right here. It went right here. Thank you so much. And I'm missing your association also, Giriraj Maharaj, praying for the opportunity when you'll allow me to be at your feet in the same way that you placed yourself at the feet of Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj. Next opportunity, I will place myself at your feet for your divine association.
I do not take what His Holiness Niranjan Swami says as literal truth, but I take it as an expression of His ecstatic love.